This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It is Friday, time for the Spotlight. And in the Spotlight today is a restaurateur, actor, film producer, winemaker, Johnny Walker. He's everything. He's even been referred to as an ideas machine. This is a man with a prolific career in acting and film, television. He's also an entrepreneur, steady hand. You'll never read about him in the newspapers doing ntotsa makhaga. He's all about the job. Thapelo Mokoena, good morning.
What a beautiful introduction. Good morning. Wow. And it rhymes. I like
yes, I made it rhyme. Core. Restaurateur, core. Actor, core. Winemaker, producer, Johnny Walker. I should have also said Jim Bunny. Jim Bunny. He's this guy Jim at Bunny. 5 o'clock in the morning is a Jim Bunny.
So good to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
And happy thank Friday, you. Everybody. Happy Friday. And thank you for your patience. I know it's taken a bit of a while to get it coordinated, but here we are in conversation. And I am so, so excited because, as I said, Thapelo, you know, you are that gentleman. We all know you. We see you on Netflix shows. We've seen you in Blood and Water. We've seen you in Generations. We've seen you in many, many things. But yeah. When we read the Sunday papers, you're not there. You know, never there. And I don't even think it's deliberate because I see you walking around the shops. You know, you drive your own car. You get your own tea. You get your own coffee. You lift your own weights at the gym. You know, it's true, you know, but, you know, you just lead a quiet life, minding your own business, all about the craft, deliberate by design.
Absolutely. There's definitely some design in all of that. There's some intentionality in all of that. There's definitely an outlook. There's definitely a plan and there's definitely a structure. So, I don't know how it works out like that, but I feel like, yeah, I don't really put myself in positions where it's any different from what you've explained. You can't control that. You know, I can't control whether I'm on a Sunday paper or not. Mm. But I think... I'm really very direct and very intentional about my life, about the people around me, about the things I say, the things I do. And as a result, you know, I feel like maybe the average person can feel that and they receive that. I'm genuinely a people lover. I enjoy people. I absolutely love people. The idea of humans really intrigues me. And I think... my acting really leans a lot on that. So as a result, I engage people. I interact. Doesn't matter who you are. I get so much wealth off of that. So maybe it lands. It lands true. Yeah. I'm far from perfect or have it all figured out. Way far from that. But I think I'm quite intentional about the way I live my life with other humans. And I think maybe it works to an extent, you know, to my favor. You know,
Are you even intentional about some of the work you do? Because you're prolific. I don't think there's ever a year where you're not in a production that's new or has a season renewed, right? But your work is very, very. It seems to me very selective, right? So you have been in Bulletproof, which is a UK series. So you're doing stuff for UK television. You've been in that amazing Mnet production, Trackers. Amazing, amazing, amazing work, right? You played Elias Motsoaledi, the uncle of the current minister, Aaron Motsoaledi, in Long Walk to Freedom. You've been in Broken Vows. You've been in a few love stories that have been on Showmax and Netflix. You were recently on Blood and Water. So clearly there's a strong international component to the work that you do, and you're constantly working. But it's like you're building up a repertoire.
Yeah. Look, I believe in the idea of practice. The more you do something, the better you become at it. You know, a wise person once said to me, practice makes permanent, not perfect. I always say this, and I always repeat this, because it's important for people to get the fact that it's the repetition, it's the consistency that breeds value, especially in the arts. And when it comes to my career, I'm very intentional. I've got seasons, you know, where I approach my characters in a different manner, where, you know, right now I'm coming out of a season, of a three-year season, where my focus was to not play nice guys.
Yay.
You know, and because I'm an actor, I need to sort of direct that instead of, you know, just receiving what I'm offered. I have to know exactly what I'm out for, what I'm trying to communicate, or how I'm trying to, you know, teach the audience how to consume my art. Mm. So, you know, obviously look up to great careers, mainly Denzel Washington's career.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely, yeah. I've studied that man from his early years to where he is now. Very intentional about the kind of scripts he picks up. Very intentional about the DNA of performance he wants to leave you with. Very clear about what makes him the X factor, you know, in his performances, in his human character.
Mm.
You know, you kind of know when you watch his films, you're like, okay, this is definitely a Denzel piece. I can't see anybody else playing that. So I've you know, since the years of film school, I was always aware that this is a business and this is a product. My performance is a product, and I constantly need to keep my product interesting and fresh, so the audience is attracted to it. So I am very, I'm at times a bit annoyingly intentional about, or very decisive about what I'm doing and when I'm doing it. As a result, I do walk away from a lot of work that is presented, but at the same time, I enjoy the fact that I work in an industry where the agents, where the directors know me and they get me and they understand my seasons. You know, I'm currently in the mother city.
Right.
I'm filming the international series Shaka Zulu for CBS and Showtime Studios.
What's your role there?
I'm playing Gendeana.
Okay, tell us about him.
I can't really say too much about this at this point, but
just who he is in the historical
history.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gendeana was one of the leaders of the Kwabe tribe.
Right.
Yeah. The Kwabes, who are, you know, one of the tribes, one of the Zulu tribes.
That were then amalgamated.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and so it goes. You know, I can't really get into this project as yet, but, you know, the blessing in that is that once your colleagues understand your method, and of course you bring passion and commitment and talent to the table, they know how to consume that. And I think I'm going through a phase where, or a season where, you know, I've been in the film industry or acting industry for 21 years, and at only now has the click happened where I'm in the zone. I'm practiced and I feel like I'm at the top of my career.
Right.
In other words, beginning of my career.
Yeah.
I feel like the past 20 years have been a great warm up.
Yeah.
And now we're having fun. Now we're on our leading man zone. And now we're literally enjoying manipulating the art. So, yes. Intentionality.
Okay, I know you don't want to tell us more about the film, and please don't, because you're still filming it. But is it a modern spin on Shaka Zulu the way we know it, or is it one of those bomb, 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 bomb ones? Is it that Shaka Zulu, or is it a newer version of it?
Oh, is it what?
Don't make me do that again, huh? Is it a new Shaka Zulu or is it the bomb, 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 bomb? Shaka Zulu, which one? Which, what can we expect here?
You know, that's hilarious. You can expect magic, man. You know, the beauty of storytelling is that, you know, we use a lens in cameras to communicate the messages that we want to communicate. So magic, grand scale, epicness.
Wow.
You can put all of that. And of course, you know, a lot of our South African actors, talents are in this project, and it's just magic.
Right.
To be involved in such a project. Obviously, it's been a great journey.
Yeah.
You know, last year I made a couple of Netflix shows, including Your Blood and Water, and some are yet to come out.
Wow.
And now we're about to complete this series. And shortly after, I make my way to the U.S. to film a sequel of my film. So it's, you know, we're at a point where we're riding the wave. I couldn't be happier. I feel like it's such a tough industry. But really, the gods have really opened the doors for me to come play.
And we're really happy for you because, as you said, practice makes permanent. And sometimes, you know, you play a small role, you play a big role, you do something epic in your country, you do something really small elsewhere. You keep going, focused on the end game. And after 20 years, you've mastered the craft, and that maturity, that dynamism, those multiple layers of talent start to show up. Your versatility shows up, and now you're riding the crest of that wave, is what you've said so far. We're in conversation with Thapelo Mokoena, actor and businessman, and we'll have more.
The Spotlight.
Definitely the spotlight is in the spotlight is Thapelo Mokoena, and he's feeling it. The lights are coming from London to LA to Cape Town. It is his turn to bask in the sun because he's done the hard yards. Yeah, he's played all the roles from Generations and local soapies to doing local productions. And recently we've seen him in really groundbreaking roles in Trackers, which has won numerous awards from Mnet Films, Bulletproof Season 3 in the United Kingdom. He's been in film as well, you know, in really seminal roles, in a movie that's very historically important, Mandela, The Long Walk to Freedom. He's been in rom-coms like Mr. Right Guy, and right now he is in Shaka Zulu, which promises to be another epic historical docudrama, as it were, that has great, great sets, great costumes, and kind of brings that Shaka Zulu story from what we know it to be, bringing it into kind of this Wakanda era, he's saying. Magic, modernism, all the way. Thapelo Mokoena. So Thapelo, if I had to describe you, I'd say there's two kinds of role that you have played really well. And one of the risks you faced was being typecast, because in Mr. Right Guy, you are this Casanova playboy who hurts women. And that's a role that kind of replicates itself in other telenovelas when you have appeared. Or you're the tough talking cop who wants no nonsense, and you're going to get to the very bottom of this dirty, dirty mafia crime. And those become the two places where we see a lot of you, because you do them so well.
Thank you, man, Lerato. You know, it's interesting. I just hearing you say that, it's amazing what the audience member sees, you know, in comparison to what I am, or what I'm displaying, or what I'm trying to present. I haven't done Mrs. Right Guy, the film you're referring to. Mm-hmm. I haven't done a rom-com in a while, you know, and that was a choice to look in other areas as an actor, because my job is to step into people's shoes, is to embody other worlds, is to not act, but instead is to live. Mm-hmm. As that particular character. So I feel like the power of projects like rom-coms is so intense that if you become part of a rom-com and it becomes popular and you play the role well, people genuinely, instinctively go towards those characters more.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I look at my career from where I'm sitting and I see so much color because I have played, like in the past 3 years especially, my work has been very, you know, off what you expect me to play. You know, some are dark characters, you know, but because we are people and we are drawn towards love stories more, you tend to remember that.
And even in Blood and Water, I'm interjecting, you know, you were father, you were the father who went missing, the artist in New York, and you had that flippancy, you had that bad boy thing going on there, and we're like, how about Tung? How this man, he just found out he lost his daughter.
Yeah, and you know, and this is precisely why I took that, I accepted, and I was happy to explore that role with Blood and Water, and I'm grateful that they optioned me. It was because he the character has a particular face that says, "I'm this great artist. I'm doing well. I'm a global citizen," but deep down inside is turmoil, and I enjoy playing that complexity. You know, as an audience member, you're seeing something else, but then when you look at the character's layers, deep down there's pain, there's trauma, there's this. And I enjoy that, you know, and I enjoy you feeling like that. I enjoy the audience hating to love me or loving to hate me, because that's when you're really doing your job. You know, I always also refer to performance and acting as therapy, because nowhere in the world does an average person get paid or get an opportunity to be rewarded for stepping out of themselves. You know, there's so much going on in my head as a person with so many things going on in my life that every time I get a chance to walk onto a set, Lerato, it's like you forget that your life exists for a second.
Right.
You're away from that world. So whether it's your world is great or not so great, for a moment you are paid to walk away and embody other people's problems, other people's triumphs, other people's victories.
Yeah.
Now there's a big healing factor in that, because you actually, if you committed to the performance, you actually feel those emotions. Mm. You actually bring those tears. Like when the tears come, you're not acting, you are feeling, and nobody gives your emotions the memo that we're playing.
Yeah.
So it's such a, which is why I love every time somebody says, "Oh, it must be nice. You're an actor. Oh, I wish I could just be an actor. Mm. That would be so much easier." I'm like, "What? You would be easier? You know, this is."
Are you a method actor? Are you that guy who gets the script, you audition, and then you go about researching and researching and researching and exploring and getting fat if the guy is fat, or, you know, shaving your hair if the man, if the character has shaved hair, or getting a tattoo if that's, you know, do you get that immersed in the role?
Absolutely. And I haven't even done it properly yet, because also to go all the way, you need the financial backing, production budget, to go all the way, you know, and yes, I am that actor. Yes, I get into it. Yeah. You know, I really do. Like, I filmed the Showmax series in Mauritius three years ago called Pulse.
Yeah.
And my character is a narcissistic. I'm horrible. Like, like the height of narcissism, this was this dude. And what I loved about that project is that Salas, who's the director and producer, really walked us into the journey of psychology and the human mind and what it is. Why do we become narcissists? And what is it that determines the level of narcissism? And as a result, I understood the area of psychology that is narcissism so well that in my real life, I tweaked certain things, because I was like, I know exactly the kind of man I do not want to be. And maybe to an extent, I was partly in some of my areas of life narcissistic, but I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And that was like, you know, if you really committed and you do the work, you will find gems that will almost lead
enrich
you
your own life.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So if you listen and you are there to not just be a pretty face or a star or likes or followers or clan, if you really listen, if you really listen to these scripts and you really listen to these people's problems, you can adjust your own life in a positive direction.
Okay, we're in conversation with Thapelo Mokoena. We've got the full hour with him, just exploring his journey in film, TV, and the future, because he says after 20 years of practice, I think I can now make this permanent. And he uses the word narcissistic, a role he's had to play. And let me tell you, there's too many people like that in the world. People who are self-absorbed, who are selfish, who think that everything is about them and can only be about them, who would never apologize. Narcissists have a sociopath element to them. They can be destructive if the world is not about them. And when you play these roles, you start to look at your real life and say, do I want to be like that? And I'm glad Thapelo has chosen not to be like that. And I know she's not like that. Nyakalo Tefo.
Speak up. Call the power line on 0861-987-000.
Explain why you were driving drunk.
Sorry, it could be work.
You're in a court of law.
I'll be quick.
I sentence you to 200 hours with a charity.
What kind of sentence is that?
Each afternoon, you work for Autumn Hills Retirement Home.
Watch where you're going.
Are you Axe's client?
He's my driver.
You better run, slop.
Oh, well, you better bring it, granddad.
You don't like me. I don't like you.
I'll break you like a breadstick.
Help, I'm being hijacked. This black man is stealing my car.
What's wrong with you?
Just some of the roles where you'll find Thapelo. And as he says, he doesn't do a lot of rom-coms because he didn't want to be typecast. You know, when we all fall in love with him, then we don't want to see him doing anything else. We definitely didn't want to see him brandishing a gun because we want him to be brandishing roses and, you know, fancy cars and car keys, etc. So he wanted versatility in his career, and he's playing everything from Zulu warriors to, you know, forensic experts, to politicians and revolutionaries, to Casanovas. He's the guy who famously and scandalously had an affair with Karabo Moroka. The audacity. It's been the Singago's tatapi lapo to have an affair with Karabo Moroka on Generations.
So I'm Namanji. I'm trying to answer that. What a pleasure, man. I mean, obviously, Sister Connie is just, you know, really an amazing human being. At the earliest time in my career and full circle moments, we get to make Kings of Joburg together a couple of years later.
Oh, my gosh.
That's special.
Okay, so I want to delve a little bit into the you, right? Because we've spoken about some of the work that you've done and the lessons you've learned, and you use that very powerful word. You know, in some roles you've had to play a narcissist, and after filming you had to sit down and say to yourself, gosh, are there moments where I am that guy, and I hope I'm never that guy. So are you that person who, when you debrief yourself, you introspect, you look at the roles you play, you look at the trauma, the myopia, the chaos of the mind, and you apply it to your own life, and then you say, ooh, I should probably be tweaking this and that in my own life.
Thoroughly. There's always a takeout, you know, in this life thing. You know, as a father to these amazing boys, you know, my boys are still very young, 8 and 4. And I just imagine, you know, what they view, what they, because they've got front row seats to, I suppose, daddy and mommy's lives.
Yeah.
And I always want them to see an artist who's passionate about the art, but thinks big and really commits to big ideas. Mm. You know, I want them to see an artist that has a decent life. We've seen the worst of this industry. You know, I want them to see, you know, a man in front of them who really prays for his dreams and visions and gets up and goes and gets what he prays for. And for me, it's like, it's not even, I think it's a gift, this acting thing, that I didn't understand early on in my career. And now I'm like, man, this is it. You know, this is really, this is it. You know, this is my therapy. So it's, for me, it's like, you know, it's like my business, you know, it's like the wine business. It's like venturing into that space. It's like venturing into grooming with my recently launched grooming range and brand and products company. It's about constantly aiming high and constantly looking for those windows of opportunity.
We'll talk
that's really like the thing for me. I'm no longer doing this at my at 40 years of age. I'm no longer doing this for me alone. I'm doing this because I'm being watched daily, especially by my little people.
Okay, so posterity, you're constantly thinking of legacy. That's true legacy. And it's not a building, it's the imprint on their 100%. Memories. We'll talk about the entrepreneurial side in a moment. I just want you to help us with a little bit of a history lesson, because you played Elias Motsoaledi in the film Long Walk to Freedom. And we know that Ntate Motsoaledi was a Robben Islander alongside the other great revolutionaries who found themselves there. But he's one of the ones whose name is either never really spoken prominently, or we don't know. And to that extent, then it gets confused with Aaron Motsoaledi, Elias Motsoaledi. So could you just tell us who he is in the story of South Africa's history, what you learned?
Yeah, Elias Motsoaledi, God bless, you know, the seven Rivonia trialists, was one of the seven that were convicted and taken to Robben Island together with Nelson Mandela. And obviously, Long Walk to Freedom captures the life of Ubaba Nelson Mandela. And of course, because storytelling is storytelling, the story was really focused on the journey of Ubaba Nelson. Of course, there were major roles played by everybody who was in Robben Island. You know, there's just not enough tape to tell all the stories. But what I learned is that we haven't even started telling that story. You know, there's so many perspectives and viewpoints. Ubaba Motsoaledi, for me, even though my role, because it was all about Idris Elba portraying Madiba, you know, there was no room to get into the meat of the supporting characters, really, because they were there supporting the Nelson Mandela story, you know. So I didn't really, you know, with Long Walk to Freedom, which is, again, one of the many reasons why I really appreciate this art form, you know, on that set, I learned that acting is not what you think. It's actually what you're not saying. That is performance. And on Long Walk to Freedom, I didn't have dialogue the entire movie. I've never been on a project and not had a sentence to say. You know, I you know, there was an ad lib where I said a line like, how are you? I'm okay. Because Idris walks into the scene and he greets. And I was like, well, naturally you would greet back, right? So that's how I had a line in the movie, but I didn't have dialogue the whole movie. In fact, you hardly even see me in the movie, but I was there every day on that set. And what I learned really was that performance is not in the words. You know, words sometimes can be a shortcut, but I was performing my butt off throughout that movie without saying a word. So the story of Ubaba Motsoaledi really wasn't captured because it was Long Walk to Freedom for Nelson, but he was iconic. He was grand. He was a mastermind. He was, you know, there's so much to him that we still don't.
But I think also from what you're saying, Tapelo, maybe it wasn't intentional, but in the end, it had the desired impact, because we always idolize Nelson Mandela, and rightly so. I'm always concerned when they deify him, but we always idolize Nelson Mandela as the face of the struggle. But he is one of the faces of the struggle, and he has a supporting cast. These fellow trialists, the Walter Sisulus, the Motsoaledis, the Governor Mbekis, they are all there. And sometimes they didn't have to, you know, speak long speeches and write long prose for us to know the power of what that revolution was. They simply needed to be there present in their moral authority.
Well said. Well said. Well said. And, yeah, you know, like, you know, give an actor the right support systems, and they will give you what you want to see.
Yeah.
And at times, storytelling is all about planting a seed.
Yeah.
You know, after watching or reading Long Walk to Freedom or watching a movie,
yeah,
it was easy for me to actually want to dig up more information about what actually happened and who these men were and what my freedom today means because of who they were then. You know,
so
it's interesting. It's messy.
Okay, so who are you? Because here you are, like me, you are a Mozutu. It seems like it.
You and me share that.
We are a Mozutu. We are these people with these very Tswana names, but it's not actually our first language or our home language, and people can't make sense of it, but it is what it is. So you are Thapelo Mokoena, but born under a tree in Ladysmith, KwaZulu-Natal, raised in KwaZulu-Natal, and as you're speaking, I can hear the Zulu inflection. So please explain to me how you are a Mozutu, a Thapelo Mokoena, but a Zulu man. Kanjan.
It's so crazy. I've just had this conversation with a friend of mine like an hour ago. She's like, so Kanjan, you know? So, you know, I think it's a normal story for me. I mean, people always find it a bit weird sometimes, but I think it's such an African story, you know. I'm born into a Sotho family. My father, a Sotho man, God rest him. My mom is a Zulu woman, and my side of the family was brought up in Ladysmith. So we had the Zulu upbringing, you know. We got more of that, where as opposed to part of my family got the Free State or the Sotho.
Yeah.
Also upbringing. So the reason I suppose my side speaks more isiZulu or in every way, ngathi, you know, we are Zulu people is because it's khuliswe vele amaZulu. And I always say this as a Sotho man, the best thing that could have happened in my life was growing up in KZN because it was such a beautiful, soulful, rich upbringing, and not rich in financial form, but in terms of, you know, like soul rich, you know, so much soul in the way I grew up in Ladysmith, my grandmother, my kaya, elokshini, and a bit of the burbs, but just getting that whole experience, I think, has made me who I am. Hence, most of my roles you will see, most of them, nkhuluma isiZulu, or you know, some of them, this is so too, like, but some are like blood and water, my character's caught, and I enjoy getting into that. But yes, I am Zulu raised.
But it also shows the complexity, because when you're driving through Harrismith and you stop at that at that outpost, it's such a confusing experience, because half the staff, like at the Mug and Bean or the Shell, are speaking Sesotho. The other half are speaking isiZulu, because that's right slap bam the border of the Free State and KwaZulu-Natal. And 100%. People are cross-pollinating and getting married to each other, and that whole place is Mozutu type people who have Sotho names, speak isiZulu as a first language, or vice versa.
So there you go, you know it. You know, I mean, Harrismith.
I should know it, because that's also where part of my father's family comes from. Elenge is Ladysmith, it's Nambiti.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. So I really value that. You know, I value the Africanism in all of us, because it doesn't make me any less of a Sotho man.
Yeah.
I'm proud of Kimukwena, you know, and Kimuhlakwana, and I'm proud of that. But at the same time, where else in the world, you know, I suppose if you're in France, you can only be French.
Yeah.
In Africa or South Africa, we have so many layers and colors.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm a storyteller, and I borrow from these areas of life so much. When I develop characters and I build characters with producers and directors, guess where I go? I go to that same bank of experience, the same bank of perspective,
Beautiful.
You know, and being raised, being born in Makaya, Ekaya, Ngakhule Lokshini, move to the burbs in a small town, and then cross over to the big city, Johannesburg. Imagine the layers of perspective that I'm offered, I would possibly take for granted if I'm not aware or paying attention. You know, there's people who are just born in one city.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. But I'm saying if you're just born in a particular, like let's say Johannesburg, for example, born, bred, grew up studying, working there, the perspective is, in a way, quite limited.
You know,
so I see the, I love it, man. Like, maybe that's why I love traveling so much.
Yeah, layers of perspective. I like that saying. You were born under a tree. When I read this, I was like, amanga. So unnecessarily dramatic. So tell us what was going on when you, when your mother went into labor and you were 22 kilometers away from the hospital. And so ultimately, it all had to happen under a tree.
Yes.
Such a dramatic entry to the world.
I know, right? That's what I always say. Like, I'm like, what? Yeah. Bless my amazing mother. I was born on my way to hospital from Emkazini, Gwagogwami, Emnambithi, so Emakhaya. And you had to drive into the city. And at the time, the average person didn't have four wheels parked outside their house. So I think when I was ready to arrive, Ubabu Mavimbela, who owned the local store in Kazini at the time, was the only man who had imoto in the area. And he drove Inkomo Ziyophuza, if you know what that is. Remember those old taxis?
Yes.
Inkomo Ziyophuza, he drove that. So my grandmother, God rest her, Gogo Flansi, God rest her, the two women who were in that vehicle with my mother. So my mother's mom, Gogo Flansi, and another Gogo, and my mother, on the way to hospital, Nobab Mavimbela. And at some point on that journey, under Isihlahla Somkhamba, Mkhamba tree, it's a very common tree, especially northern Natal, they had to make a stop because I was arriving.
Oh my gosh.
How I was born under that particular tree, which has now been cut down 4 years ago. I was quite sad when that happened, but my journey is, I was literally, you know, I was delivered.
Oh my gosh.
That tree, and I didn't make it to the hospital. And here I am.
It could make such a great ad. I hope marketers are listening. This could make a really beautiful thing. So from that humble, dramatic entry into the world under a tree to the stages and the film sets of great producers internationally, to being one of GQ's sexiest men, to being a face for Johnny Walker, to then having your own cosmetics range. Okay, so tell me about how all of this translates into the entrepreneur and this very colorful person, multi-layered person you've become.
I grew up I'm from a very quite an entrepreneurial family. My father was a very determined businessman. He made a lot of great moves in front of us that I think were just incredible to witness. You know, he didn't have much, but he managed to build a life, not just for himself but for us, with the little education that he had, but just off determination and pure hard work. And I think that's a bug that's always sort of captured us, you know, especially as the brothers, myself and my brothers, we're a family of entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that was sort of, I got that from home, from witnessing this man who was a go-getter and really do amazing things. So naturally, I was always looking to build something. I've always had the empire outlook. I want to build something great. You know, I'm inspired by great minds like your Jay-Z's and how they've managed to build legacies and quietly, without too much noise and aggression, but just hard work and keeping your head down and moving. And that for me has always been a thing that I've had in me. But when I finally knew how to articulate that and practice it, I felt right at home.
Okay.
You know, and the idea of introducing quality products and brands, my African people will always be my love letter to Africa.
Oh my God.
And that's how I've defined it. So my wine, the premium wine that I produce, the Sicilian grape that I farm here in Cape Town, Wellington, is a love story to my soil and producing that product and giving it right back, not just exporting it, because that grape is sold globally now, but introducing the idea of enjoying the fruits of our soil, especially wine, to my own people, to my brown people, and not have that be an intimidating conversation.
I think
the same goes for grooming, you know.
I think the thing, you know, with the grooming, with the wine, it's all presenting a picture of an epicurean, a really sophisticated kind of guy. And obviously, you know, making the GQ list of men, a fashionista, you know, it's such a contrast to the rural man who's become this true metropolitan man, a man for all seasons.
And look, it's weird, we call it metropolitan, but it's actually just love and self-care and self-appreciation. You know, when I you know, one of the most asked questions is, tell us about your beard. How do you get your beard like that? Is it naturally gray? Are you naturally graying? Did you put something on it? How does that work? And it's always funny to me because I'm just like, oh my goodness, I just happen to be born into a family genetically of people who have grays, and we all gray early in my family, and this is nature. I'm just graying rapidly fast. And at some point I was like, hold on a second. I do take care of my beard, but I don't have a regime, but I've got a friend of mine who's made me these natural oils for my beard. I should maybe look at producing a product line. You know, I've been the face of international brands, colognes, fashion brands, and at some point I was like, I'm going to stop signing these contracts, and I'm going to start creating products that speak to our people, speak to our climate, speak to our skin types.
Okay.
You know, and me having eczema was the beginning of the solution, because my friend created this oil for me to help with the eczema, and then he created an oil just to use for my beard, and I was like, well, if we can produce this stuff, and I've been using these products for 2 years and I've got no issues, why don't we produce this for my people or for the moth?
So what's your range called?
It's Bakwena Beard Care Range.
Bakwena Beard Care Range.
Yeah, the company is called Bakwena Brands. So bakwenabrands.com is the online store. And a lot of great updates coming up soon. So it's literally the beginning of that journey. There's more to come.
Okay.
And the idea for me was how do I once again look at the windows of opportunity and tell a bigger story, at the same time create a legacy journey and build my empire.
Right.
So it's the beginning. I'm really at a great beginning phase with most of you.
And Ricky Maja loves it, says, oh Lerato, that's a lovely fireplace conversation you're having with the iconic Mokoena there. He may grow to the highest may he grow to his highest stature in artistry. Jeff, you have something to say?
Hi, Lerato and hi, Chukatelo. Hey, actually, just for a man that I like to model my my dress code into how he dresses, Lerato. And mid-30s.
Yeah.
Lerato, the thing that I also wanted to ask Chatelo, you come from a family of football, and I believe that Chatelo is doing what he really loves. But them coming from there, their father built a huge legacy and a monster in that Free State Stars and Godbusters team. So I'm surprised as a family that football team is no longer there. So, which is really disappointing because of Tate Mokoena really brought a lot of young stars into our football. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jeff is introducing me to something brand new. So, vele vele, otseba lo dribbler a ball.
Well, firstly, Jeff, thank you for that sentiment, my brother. How do I answer you on this one? I think my father's role in Africa, one day maybe the story will be told, hopefully by me. He's a man that really did a lot for our football industry. He's one of the men who was instrumental in founding the National Soccer League of our country, which ultimately became the Premier Soccer League. Okay. You know, from humble beginnings, he founded his football club, which became a Premier League team, the Free State Stars, Bakwa Stars at the time.
Okay.
And the man really championed small-town dreams and brought so much value
right.
and importance to Free State as a province.
Right.
And Jeff, you know, business, my brother, is business. I'm not directly involved with that side of the family business. I'm not sort of in the football space, and I cannot really answer to how the team is no longer sort of in the Premier League. But I can tell you this, business is naturally wavy. There's waves.
Yeah.
There's seasons. You know, my dad sold that team twice and bought it back three times.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think the journey continues. Maybe there's another story to be told. But, yeah, he played his part.
Okay, so I think that's a perfect way to leave it, Thapelo, with a tribute to the man who has perhaps created a fantastic foundation for you to be the man you've become, pursuing your own dreams, but understanding the fundamentals of entrepreneurship. And more importantly, reminding you that even if you can be born under a tree, you can rise to your own greatness if you follow your own moral compass, your own true north, which it seems to us is taking you all the way to Hollywood. South Africa's behind you. South Africa's proud of you. South Africa's walking that Jamison walk with you. And you are everything from a metropolitan mall to a restaurateur, the owner of Malitva, to a prolific actor, to a man who wants to do it for his children. And we are rooting for you all the way, Thapelo Mokoena. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate you. And thank you for these kind words. And thank you for just Uyankutaza. And I really appreciate that. And yes, you stay great. And thank you to all your listeners. And I will see you at gym.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I pick up my own weights at the gym. All right. And that's where we leave it in the spotlight today. And you, people of power, are great in every single way. And we thank you for your time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.